Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
This is Donna Sebo, and happy holiday to all of you. This is Martin Luther King Day, and so many of you are celebrating this. And wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I hope you are just sitting back and relaxing and enjoying yourself. And I'll tell you what, we have got a very special program today. I think it fits beautifully with the Martin Luther King holiday because it's about your dreams. It's about what means the most to you. And my guest today is Dr. Lisa Love. Her fascinating book is Beyond the Secret, Spiritual Power and the Law of Attraction. Dr. Love, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Donna.
Do you mind if I call you Lisa?
That's fine. Thank you.
You're welcome. I want my listeners to know a little bit about your background. You're a therapist specializing in sexual and physical abuse. You've also had your own radio show, and you're a syndicated columnist. You've got graduate degrees in marriage, family, and child counseling, transpersonal psychology, spiritual psychology, and esoteric philosophy. And you have been a pioneer in teaching meditation over the Internet to America Online. And 7 years ago, you founded the website soultospirit.com, which is very significant to you, and will be giving other contact information about you. Beyond the Secret. Now, just about everybody, I'm sure, listening to the show today has heard about the wonderful movie and book, The Secret. It had such an explosive impact. The movie was beautifully done. The materials were well done. But you decided you need to bring another perspective to this. The law of attraction is very, very real. Tell us your story, how it was that 10 years ago you started putting together the material that today is published in this book, Beyond the Secret.
Well, I first learned about the law of attraction in the 1980s, and I applied it with a lot of success in my life. But I always had some difficulty with it because, just as The Secret says, the law of attraction is neutral. It doesn't ask you what kind of person you are when you rub the magic lamp and the genie comes out of the bottle and gives you your wish. And so I was perplexed and actually spent 5 years doing in-depth research trying to understand how do you use the law of attraction in a spiritual way based upon my Christian upbringing and also my understanding of different spiritual traditions. And so that was the main motivation for the book. And the notes for this book were done 10 years ago. So when The Secret came out, it was real easy for me to quickly put together the areas that I agreed with and where I thought it needed more clarification or didn't agree with the book at all.
Now, with this, most of the time when we become aware of this law of attraction, there's an interest in additional money, or some people want fame, some people want a big house, some people want a new car. I mean, these are all tangible that are out there. How would you deal with something like this? Because the genie is there.
My book distinguishes between spirit and the ego. And when we're based in our spiritual center, what we wish for doesn't only benefit ourselves. Now, all of us have an ego. That's the part of us that has certain needs and desires, and we need to get some of those met or we can't function in life. But as I say in my book, the ego becomes a problem when it becomes overly narcissistic. And I'm at odds with the idea that we can have everything that we want in life, because I believe from an egotistical perspective, if we have everything we want, and that means if all 6.6 million people have everything they want, including, you know, 4 or 5 cars and 3 or 4 homes, et cetera, I don't think that there's that much to go around. Now, some people in The Secret say, oh, there's unlimited abundance. But with global warming such an issue and 1,000 plant and animal species going extinct every day, I think we need to start to learn to use the law of attraction in a different way. and to make what we want to attract primarily spiritual values, that then whatever we acquire, we learn how to appreciate it, we learn how to use it wisely, and since it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day, we learn how to use it for the benefit of others. And sometimes, just like Martin Luther King Jr., that means that we make sacrifices that aren't necessarily, I don't think he wanted to attract getting shot, but I think that was the consequences of him pushing a paradigm shift that a lot of people were opposed to. And he was willing, because he was so spiritually based, to take that risk if it meant it would bring about change and his ultimate dream of a more equal society. And so I'm very grateful for him in doing that. And so that's the primary way that my book has shifted the use of the law of attraction. Come from a spiritual center, come from your spiritual power versus your ego first.
You talk about some of the lessons that you learned, and one of those lessons related to water and puddles.
My dissertation and my PhD dissertation was on wealth and spirituality. And I, again, was wondering, how can you have everything and maintain your spiritual center? And I've gone through a few phases in my life. I've had a lot of money. I've consciously given up a lot of money to live what I thought was a more spiritual lifestyle, which basically was like spiritual poverty, and have acquired money again in my life. And right now I live consciously a simple life. But I was really, at one point, kind of opposed to the idea of money. That's when I thought it was more spiritual to do without. And yet I began to realize that nature doesn't work like the communist ideal. It doesn't give everybody everything they want equally. Nature, just like water, has areas where there's a great deal of abundance, like there's an abundance of water in an ocean. And when I was sitting by that, standing by that ocean, I also noticed, because it had just rained a puddle on the ground. And so I realized that just as water comes in puddles and lakes and oceans, wealth and abundance comes at different levels to each one of us. So it isn't how much money or water anybody has. I realized that was the issue here. The issue is, how well are you using whatever you attract? If you're using it in service, if you're using it to benefit others, then go ahead and be a billionaire or a trillionaire, mm-hmm. so long as you're benefiting society and helping humanity move forward. And I think that just as, you know, if you only have a little bit, then use that little bit well, and then you will be grateful for it, and you'll have the power to attract more. So that was one of the major insights. Again, it's not how much we have, it's how we're putting whatever we have to good use, so it helps not only ourselves, but our friends and our family and our communities, and if you were able to serve at that level, humanity as a whole.
You make a statement in your book that I totally agree with, and that is, whatever you have the privilege of receiving, you're a custodian. And if you did have the good fortune to win $51 million in a lottery, if you're a good custodian, you're going to be able to not just enjoy a very good life, but you're going to be able to have the ripple effect that is going to go out, and it's just going to flow out to everything and anything that's around you. But on the other hand, if you're not a good custodian, it can all go away just as quickly as it came in.
And that often happens, and my research proves that, to people that win lotteries. And also, most wealth is lost by the third generation of people who inherit it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because people tend to feel entitled, or they tend to take it for granted. That's kind of what I talk about in the back part of my book when I talk about the false sense of spirituality that some people can have. It's really more about self-improvement than it is about the good that you can do while you're here with whatever gifts you've been given. And so not taking it for granted, or not expecting in an entitled way that we should live abundant lives. We can live abundant lives. I encourage living an abundant life, but we're here to do that for a purpose, and that purpose is to help improve the lives of others.
You make a statement in your book about legacy, and it's not often that I find that this thought is presented to people. If you could leave a legacy, what would you want that legacy to be?
There's actually a few paragraphs I wrote in my book, and that is one of the top favorites. And what I essentially say is, hopefully the legacy we leave at the end of our lives is one where, when we die, people are so grateful for having known us that they would gladly give back everything they inherited in a monetary way just to have one more day with us. And that's quite different than if we die, the people say, oh my gosh, at least I got something for having to have put up with that person for so long. So it's a legacy where people really, just like Martin Luther King Jr. today, how appropriate, people remember you, people respect you, people think of the great service that you made. And it doesn't have to be in such a large way as Martin Luther King Jr. It can be, I mean, what a gift if we just have our children think that about us. That's an amazing thing right there. So to live as if your life matters, and to live, one of my favorite phrases, as if you're making a difference each and every day and putting your best foot forward and using the law of attraction techniques to keep positive mentally and emotionally so that you can be here for others and continue to serve.
We're all so connected, and we never know when what we may have to offer in the way of a skill, a talent, a level of knowledge can benefit something, someone else or something else. And I find it always so fascinating the way the law of attraction will work and how in the least likely circumstances opportunities are often shown. And that is something that you encourage people to be open to. Be receptive to what's going on. And I really like what you just said, because I think that when we have an attitude that we do have value, we may not know exactly where that value is going to be needed or how we can serve with that value in any given moment. If we're fortunate, we may discover that passion as we mature and we're able to really plug in and turn it on and other people can tune into it, and that's just marvelous. But you have in your book a sentence that says, saying something like, not my will, but thine will be done, and you qualify that, saying that that is from Christian Bible, but anything that is relative to a statement like that, despite firm convictions, you may not always know what's best, helping you to stay open to what spirit may be attracting to you instead. And I think the law of attraction often brings to us, and this may not sound very pleasant, sometimes what we want, but maybe not in a real sweet picture. Sometimes what we have are lessons that teach us how to become aware of who we are.
I agree, and I write that a lot of us aren't going to wish for a disease or a broken relationship or a prison sentence to finally turn our egos around so that it becomes more spiritual when it changes. And I don't think we have to learn in those ways. But sometimes if we're overly stuck in a direction and we're not getting that, even though from an ego standpoint we're using the law of attraction to get what we think we want, we may not get that that's not what spirit wants for us or what's ultimately best for us in the long run. So staying open to that is important. And in fact, one of the motivations for me putting this book together, besides the book The Secret coming out, was approximately 1 year ago, there was an incident with a company, and the short version of it is I was asked to take over the president's job, and I ended up saying that I would not do that, and he was willing to keep the position, but he needed to listen to the board of directors. And instead he got angry and illegally dissolved the company, and I ended up suddenly and abruptly unemployed and made a tough decision to let my son at the time go live with my ex-husband. And he's a decent person, but I had always had my son with me and had made many sacrifices to always be a part-time mother to him. So it was not anything I ever thought about. It was something I fought consistently. He lives with me again now, by the way. And that was something that led me to write this book, because there are often events that don't enter into our minds at all. We don't think them up or feel them up the way a lot of law of attraction people want us to think or feel guilty about. They just happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what do we do with those events when they happen? Now, the irony is it cleared out the space for me, because within a few short months, I suddenly had this book attracted to me, and I spent 4 or 5 months hunkered down writing it and getting it out and promoting it. So even though it seemed to me at the time like probably the worst thing I could think of, not being able to be with my son full time. It gave him a chance to bond with his dad. It gave me a chance to write a book. And that is an example in my own life of how sometimes spirit has a different plan for us. And it can look like a disaster in the moment, but if we stay open to a higher teaching, we realize that there's something much better that comes out of it. And again, he lives with me, but his dad ended up having a wonderful experience with him and him with his father. And I'm very, very glad in hindsight the whole thing happened exactly as it did.
I think it takes a great deal of self-reflection and a willingness to be open to the fact that life has so many different scenes to express and to play. And I don't think I have ever encountered a successful person that didn't have their moments where they felt that somebody really screwed up the script because this wasn't in the book that they were supposed to be. They were supposed to be in. And this one, no, I'm sorry, you've got the wrong one. That's the wrong edition I want. This one. This is not the one I was supposed to get. And it happened. But just like you said, and I really think that that is what makes your book something that can expand a perception. And I often joke with people and say, when I was about 12 or 13 years old, I played a game of three wishes with a very dear friend of mine at the time. And we had stopped on a corner, and she had introduced me to this game. And the game was, you get three wishes, you can have whatever you want. Well, she had played this game with other people before, and I was quite serious at that age. And so I said, well, you'll have to show me how to do it. And she said, wish for whatever you want. And I said, no, you show me what you want. And she said, okay, here are the three wishes that I want. She wanted to be married, she wanted to have a house, and she wanted kids. And those were her three wishes. I said, oh, that's interesting. She said, well, what do you want? I said, I want wisdom, insight, and understanding. She said, that's really nuts. And I'm thinking, and I ended up getting it. But nobody told me that in that book, you're going to get kicked in the teeth a few times because wisdom, insight, and understanding doesn't come with a fairy tale wand. It comes from living life.
That's very similar to when I was a young girl. The main thing I prayed for was compassion, and I write in my book that I had no idea that the word passion really means suffering, and compassion means the capacity to suffer in a healthy way,
mm-hmm.
not in a martyr way with others. And so my life, I have been attracted to many different experiences where people have had tremendous suffering, some I wouldn't even care to share when I worked with children. And that's another reason I was at odds with the law of attraction theory. It was very difficult for me to sit with some of these children that had been horribly abused and to stand behind this teaching that basically can assert that whatever we think and feel, we attract into our lives. Therefore, it's kind of like a New Agey type guilt. Therefore, you're at fault for every bad thing that happens to you. Well, that certainly didn't click with the young children that I worked with. And as a therapist, that doesn't help heal anybody
mm-hmm.
to say that kind of thing. And so it's not only helpful, it's harmful when you are trying to help people cope with some of the horrible things that happen in their lives. And so that's why I say in my book that I think it's better to realize that some events just happen. You don't necessarily attract them to you, but what you do with it, and I say create a soul story out of it, create a story that not only brings meaningful triumph to your life, but also can help bring triumph to the lives of others through the service that you can do. Examples like that are Christopher Reeves. I wouldn't have wished that quadriplegic accident on him in the remotest part of my mind. And yet, what a wonderful service, same with Michael J. Fox, that they could turn those kinds of illnesses and injuries around and make the huge strides, not only for themselves, but for the benefit of so many others who are struggling with those kinds of diseases. That's a soul story. That's a victory, no matter what kind of tragedy might befall us.
Emotions are the power factor of the law of attraction. That is something that I know is very real. In your book, you talk about how powerful that is, and that can be good, bad, or indifferent. And it's very important to understand the positioning of emotions. Address that a little bit.
It's something I very much admire about the Hicks books and Michael Lozier, and I trained with him as a law of attraction coach, their books on the law of attraction, is that they talk about So it isn't so much what we think, it's what we feel that helps us attract something. And yet, one of the things that the Hicks tend to imply is, therefore, we should only focus on the good emotions and not the bad emotions like anger and jealousy and sorrow, etc. Yet my own experience with emotions as a therapist and working with others is that there is no bad emotion. Every emotion has a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of anger, I believe, is teaching other people that you have certain boundaries that need to be respected, and you can use anger in a healthy and assertive way to teach people that you deserve some respect, and they're not going to treat you in a way that is disrespectful or harmful. Sorrow is simply, to me, I often say with my clients, it's like a sponge full of water. We just need time to wring the water out. And in my book, I mention the funny feeling I have when people treat depression as if it's a really bad thing. Now, if it's very debilitating and it's making you suicidal, you need to do something about it. Maybe you even need medication. But often what depressed or sad people need is a space to heal. And we're in such a busy, active, gotta-go-do society that we frequently do not give people the time they need for mourning or to experience a loss or to get the kind of support around them that will help them cope better with tough and difficult times. And so every emotion has a lesson. Even being happy too much can be, I think, not a very good thing in this regard. If we are only happy and not sensitive to the needs and plights of others, then we can become a happy and insensitive person to when other people experience emotions that we may judge as being not good. So I'm certainly not saying that it's not a good thing to be happy as much as we can. I think we should, as much as possible, try and live in a feel-good state. But at the same time, other emotions will arise, and being able to understand and work with and master all those emotions and learn the lesson that they each have for us is all part of being a human being, and I would rather have that total experience myself.
I don't think anyone can grow without growing with those various emotions. You're not going to be able to really communicate with anyone if you're sitting there with a, gee, let's be totally happy thing. There was a hospice situation I had the opportunity to experience, and there was an attendant in this room that was filled with family, and one of my very good friends was dying. And she was totally incapacitated. She had reached that point where the body had become unable, the muscles were freezing. And she couldn't move. She could barely grunt out a sound. So it's not a pleasant sight when you are in that kind of environment. And I had taken in some music, and one of the attendants was listening to the music, said, "Oh, this is just too somber. You should really be happy with this." The husband got very upset. He said, "This is really special. This is what we want right now." And what had happened is that this other person was, I think, of the mindset and had been trained that this is not supposed to be a time to grieve, and I honor and I respect her opinion for that, because to me, death is not something that is an ugly thing. But at the same time, she didn't know how to empathize
mm-hmm.
with the feeling that was being expressed by people who were very loving towards this person and were trying to make this person's transition easier with the music. And the music was absolutely gorgeous.
We're in agreement there. And that's, again, a danger with some people in the law of attraction world, is that they will guilt you if you're not always in a feel-good space. And therefore, that's why, again, my book is different and says that it's important to feel all our feelings and to understand and value all our feelings and the lessons that they have so that, again, I'm repeating myself, we can be a complete human being.
Absolutely. And it's all of that. When there is anger, the wise person understands that these emotions have a value. They can be a catalyst, a motivation. Let's go full circle with what my statement was about Martin Luther King and what you addressed earlier. This is a man who had a purpose and an objective and knew his life was on the line. And there was a lot of emotion that was behind him, And he knew what he wanted to accomplish. He also knew that there were variables that he was contending with. He knew it throughout his whole experience. And he knew what was going to eventually occur. And like you said, he didn't say, hey, you know, do me in. That's not what he said. But he believed in what he said, and if it was necessary for him to be sacrificed. And it was this feeling with a lot of other people. They were willing to do this so that a change would occur. And it's when you use those emotions as a catalyst, when you use them not to go out and destroy in a very ugly way, but when you say, I'm standing with purpose. I am standing here. I will be the example. And I'll use all of those emotions in a constructive way. That's wisdom. Then you've really attained a level of understanding. I know that there is so much more in your book, Beyond the Secret. With the little bit of time we have remaining, and we'll be giving out your website information too, Lisa, what thoughts really would you like to leave my audience with before we close out with our chat today?
Again, that each and every one of you has a purpose, and that purpose is to make a contribution. And it's fine to get stuff in your life, but in the end, think again of that kind of legacy that you want to leave behind. And it's going to most likely be a contribution of the spiritual wisdom and spiritual values you were able to acquire, attract, and demonstrate in your life. So simply put the horse before the cart and put spiritual abundance before material abundance as you move forward and make a difference in this world.
You have many suggestions. You have exercises. And there are just so many different perspectives that I think enhance what the law of attraction is with a perspective that I think can be invaluable. My guest today has been Dr. Lisa Love. Her wonderful book is Beyond the Secret, Spiritual Power and the Law of Attraction. You can go to her website, drlisalove.com, and that can be DOCLISA, LISA, love.com, or DRLISALove.com. She'd written this material over 10 years before The Secret came out, and so this was something that just sort of dovetailed in. Who would have thought 10 years later she would have had this very, very successful book? And Lisa, you're going to be up in the Seattle area. When?
Yes, I am. I'll be there this coming Saturday at the East West Bookstore running a workshop, 4-hour workshop from 2 to 6 p.m. I believe it's $40 for people to come and join in, so I'd love to have you there and get some specific training. There's over 50 techniques in my book, and we'll be using some of them to help you use the law of attraction in a spiritual way.
So for those of you in the state of Washington that are listening to the show, just know that you'll be able to find out about her information, all these details that she just gave you about the talk coming up this Saturday. So go again to her website, drlisalove.com, and remember that can be DR or DOC, lisalove.com. Her book, Beyond the Secret, Spiritual Power and the Law of Attraction.
And that's DOCTOR. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Don't go away because phone lines are now going to be open. We'll be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. If you're a new listener, I'm delighted you're able to join us. The telephone numbers to call in to are 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. For those of you in California, I want to let you know we're getting closer and closer to a wonderful event, the 6th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival. It's being held February the 8th through the 11th at the LAX Hilton, which is at 5711 West Century Boulevard in Los Angeles. We're going to have over 100 speakers there, including myself. There's going to be a spiritual comedy night, conscious business symposium. Also, yoga classes are going to be done daily. And if you'd like to have more information about this, call 800-367-5777. That's 800-367-5777. You can also go to their website, ConsciousLifeExpo.com, ConsciousLifeExpo.com. You'll find out all about the ticket prices, when the events are going on. I'm going to be there. I will have a booth. We're going to be doing a broadcast live on Friday the 8th, which is going to be very, very interesting, right there on site. So we're going to be talking with some of the people that will be appearing there. And again, I will have a booth there, and I am also going to be speaking on Saturday. So I look forward to meeting some of you out there. And with the, you know, with me, wherever I go, my microphone travels with me. The show goes on. I wanted to also give our number out again, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. That's all. And then after that, let me give you my information, and then you can tell me what question you have, and we'll take it from there. I also like to know where you're calling from. It's absolutely wonderful, wonderful information. You all know, because of the amount of material and with all of the authors that I review, there's about 400 to 600 books a year that I go through. Not all of those people's material comes to the air, because it's, some of it is going to fit and some of it isn't. But I came across some wonderful information regarding the heart. And I don't know of many people who haven't known someone or have themselves not been affected with heart disease or have had problems. And in the past, there's been all kinds of methods of being able to treat various heart conditions. Well, I came across this article, and it was in the Reader's Digest, which is a magazine I've always enjoyed through the years, and it's titled Heart Hope. And if you want to get a copy of this, look for the latest edition. It's the February 2008 edition, and the title of the article is Heart Hope. Now, this is at this time considered an experimental treatment for people that have very serious heart problems. And I know my husband has gone through experiences with the heart. We've had, so many of our friends who have had heart attacks, who have had bypasses, who have gone through all kinds of things. Well, in this article, it talks about a fellow by the name of Jim Blevins and also a young woman by the name of Gail Keller, both of whom had their own independent heart situations, and both of them were in a situation where a heart transplant wasn't going to be a possibility. Gary was far too ill, and so was, Jim was far too ill, and Gail was far too ill. Both of them were very, very sick people. And there was a doctor in Germany that came up with a resolution, and I want to share it with you, because it, to me, it was so exciting. It's a wonderful thing to know that there are people that have a passion for making change. I know we've got a caller, so after we finish with this caller, I'll continue. And for those of you, anyone that would want to call in today, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, dear. You're going to need to speak up. I need your first name or your initial, and I'd love to know where you're calling from.
My name is Heather, and I'm calling from Indianapolis.
All right, Heather. Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the show. And Heather, when I'm watching you, I feel as if you are experiencing slow motion. Nothing seems to be moving very quickly. It's almost as if I see a bubble around you. And it's clear, but you feel like you are in one of these slow motion frames, like you see in a movie. And I would say to you, that's an illusion, because there's a lot going on around you. There is a lot happening in your life. I'm just looking at all of this activity all around you. You feel like you're in slow motion because you have not yet reached that point where you can propel the action that you need for the change you want rapidly. It's as if you must go through this slow motion cycle so that you can take care of what you need to take care of and take care of it well, including your physical well-being. You're eventually going to be building up a momentum that will start picking up speed probably by the first part of summer. That may not be what you want to hear, but if I could make a recommendation to you, instead of getting agitated and angry over what you cannot control, I want you to work with what you can control. I want you to work with where you are right now. Take things, if you have to, 1 hour at a time, 1 day at a time. Go ahead, look at your plans, look at the bigger picture, but realize, just like an old-fashioned locomotive that's going uphill, you have to keep the steam in the engine going. You are going to have to keep putting wood in that engine, so it's going to constantly keep burning until you peak the hill. And this has been a process you've been going through for about a year. And that's not a bad thing. It's really a benefit to you because you are starting to face certain realities that you have not been willing to look at. And I want you to know you have the courage to follow it all the way through and do it. Now, I've got this strangest smell, and it had to do with it's about a person. I'm honestly thinking it's a male. But they have an unusual body smell. And my first sense when I was smelling this was, goodness gracious, this person needs a bath. But I really think that this individual may have a physiological condition that needs medical treatment. Now, who this man is, I'm not sure. But the smell was so distinct, and I feel that you are going to be near a person that's going to have this very distinctive body odor. And it is important that they go and see a doctor. Very important. Something is very wrong here. What would you like to ask me today?
Actually, you've pretty much answered everything that I needed you to.
Now, how did I pretty much answer all of your questions?
You told me everything that I was going to ask you before I even got to ask.
Well, that's interesting. There's nothing left that you'd like to ask me?
No, ma'am.
Well, my dear, you just keep on stoking that engine.
Thank you so much.
But keep stoking it. You're going to get there, and you're going to get over the hill.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Heather. Have a beautiful day.
You do the same.
Thank you, dear. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227 is the telephone number to call. Also, 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. I want to go back to this article regarding the heart, because you may know of someone whose life may be affected in a wonderfully, wonderfully special way. I firmly believe, as if you're a regular listener, you know this, that anytime I can bring information to you, it is going to empower you in some way. No one ever has all the answers. And sometimes we need a different perspective. And that is exactly what happened with Gail and Jim. Jim was what some doctors called a no-option patient. All conventional treatments had been exhausted. He didn't meet the criteria for transplant. Do you know, one, there's a shortage of donor organs, and patients that are waiting for transplants have to be so sick they are literally on their deathbed to qualify. And many of them will actually pass away because they're waiting for their new heart. Now, what happened is there was a German doctor, and the process is called angiogenesis. Angiogenesis. Now, this started in Germany. And when angiogenesis started developing and they were experimenting with it and they were doing tests, they found that it was achieving something that was far beyond their expectations. Now, it had just done beautifully in two German studies. The FDA here in the United States had approved the launch of the first American clinical trial. We'll find out more about this in just a moment. Let's go to our next caller. Welcome to the show, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Linda from Phoenix, Arizona.
Linda from Phoenix?
Yeah, fine.
Okay, dear, I'm fine. There was a lot of tone when you came on the line, so I couldn't, I wasn't sure that you were there or who was there. There was all kinds of strange stuff going on. Anyway, Linda, welcome to the show. What I wanted to say to you right off the bat is there are two setbacks coming up before the 14th of April. It doesn't have anything to do with taxes either. There are two setbacks, and they seem to be pretty close together. The setbacks are going to sort of knock you off of your agenda. And it's as if I'm seeing you sitting on your heels going, I didn't need this. Now what do I do? You probably need to do some brainstorming with someone that can show you a different way to go around the setbacks. These setbacks seem to be pretty much caused, one, by particular individuals that have certain circumstances they're relating to. Consequently, you need to know you don't do battle with them. If you try to do battle, it's like moving a 5-ton boulder with a stick. It's not going to happen. So what you want to do is say, all right, this is there. This is what my obstacle is. How am I going to go around it? I don't have the time to waste. I can't be bothered with moving the 5-ton boulder. What are my options? And I think you're going to find that rather than dwelling on it very much, you're going to have some resolution. Apparently, you're going to have two or three people that you can brainstorm with. Whenever something comes up and it's problem-solving time, it's like you can go to these two or three people and throw stuff out, and they'll go, oh, try this, try this, try this. And someone is going to make a suggestion, why don't we put some dynamite underneath these boulders and blast it to the moon? And you're going to say, if we do that, look at how much harm it's going to cause, and we're not going to be able to control which way the pieces of the boulder go. And they're going to say, whoa, I hadn't thought of it that way. You're going to say, I don't want to cause a shattering that is going to disempower certain conditions. I want to know how I can go around the boulder, because it's not worth that effort. How can I go around the obstacle and take care of what needs to be taken care of efficiently and well and keep my show on the road? Very good suggestions are going to be offered. You're going to figure out which ones you want to utilize, and then you're going to take off. It seems like after the 18th of March, then there seems to be a setback there, and then I'm looking at, by June the 2nd, I think things are going to be rolling pretty smoothly. But it appears that you need to become more adaptable, and this is part of the process of learning you're going through. Oh, hon, can you stay on the line, because we've got to take a break?
Thank you, yes.
Okay. Linda is going to stay on the line. We're going to take a break. We will be back in just a moment. Don't you go away.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Linda, are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay. Linda, what was your question for me?
Well, I'm working on starting, it seems like I've had a setback in one of the I'm trying to start a Toastmasters group in our community, and someone that was very instrumental and very useful and active in the group has dropped out, and I wondered if you saw that person coming back or if you saw the success of this group. It's it seems to be losing steam, and I'm still out there trying to promote it.
Well, I think Toastmasters is a wonderful group. I think it absolutely gives a wonderful, wonderful service. But I think you need to be able to reach out to the community. And I would encourage you, because you are promoting this organization, to be able to contact various groups like Kiwanis, Lions, Rotary, etc., and introduce people in the community to who you are, because they need to know that you're available. Also, I would encourage you to become acquainted with some high schools. Just get involved. That's going to be the key to making this work, because it is an organization that has a specific purpose, and it has such a wonderful background to it. You need to be able to integrate. There's going to be a lot of social activity that you're going to need to add to it. And since you're just starting it, you have to be aware that you're going to have to just be consistent with it. Whether there's two or three people or there's 20 people, you're going to have these variables in this environment all the time. So I would also connect with other Toastmaster groups and ask for their insight and their recommendations. because they've already gone through the learning curve, especially if they are a well-established, well-respected group. And if you're in an environment that doesn't have that at this time, you're going to be doing a great service to your community. But you can't just think it. It has to be active interaction with others. So that is what is going to have to be done. And invite the people to bring their friends. And are you holding at a local restaurant? What are you doing?
We're holding it at a local community establishment, and it's non-food service, but we're certainly flexible on that. And all the suggestions that you've listed is what I've focused on doing. Do you see this being a success?
Yes. But you have to remember, it takes time. This isn't something that's going to happen overnight. This isn't something that's going to be a big aha. It is a project, often, by word of mouth, people learn of. And I would say, contact women's groups. Talk to them. Say, we'd love to have you. You've already got your format and everything there, and it's just holding true whether you have 2 people or 102.
Yeah. I've been working on it for over a year now, and that woman leaving was just...
She's not the end of the world, hon. She's just one woman.
Yeah.
Just one woman. But you have to remember, there's going to be that constant fluctuation. I have to go, Linda.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome, dear. This is Donna Sebo, and I know we've got just about a minute before we're going to be closing. I didn't finish giving you all of the information about this new technique that is being put through experimental studies here in the United States. But I would like to give you a little bit of information. I'll try to continue this tomorrow. You can go to CVBT.com, which is a website that talks about this process called FGF-1. And also, you can see an animated video of this procedure for the heart that is so different. It is absolutely awesome. And again, I'll try to continue this tomorrow at rd.com/cardiac. rd.com/cardiac. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You've got a lot to live for, and there is so much more that you can attract in your life that's far beyond your greatest dreams. Just expect the best, and it will be there for you. This is Donna Sebo. We'll talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.